So you guys claim to be the biggest podcast in Toronto based on views.
Yeah.
But in terms of subscribers, you're not.
In terms of subs, I don't know.
I was really like kind of like willing to like fight both you and Umar.
So here's a funny story. We talked about Roadrunner off camera, right? So like the first time when we asked Roadrunner to do the podcast, Toronto's just one of those cities that there's a glass ceiling. And we feel like we've hit that glass ceiling. 99.99% of the NFTs from the last bull run will not make a return this year.
So you like mutton rolls. All right. Welcome back to another episode of The Burrow Sound, recording here live at 25th Hour Studios. I'm your host with the most, DJ Czar. Joined by arguably one of the most famous Tamil people in the city.
Yes, sir.
You might have seen him on Seeking Success. You might have seen him on Instagram or his new song, Rasati, with MT, which is low-key kind of blowing up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
A little wave.
Radis Rajakulam. Did I pronounce that right?
Radis, yeah.
Radis Rajakulam in the building.
Let's go. Yo, I like that. Your DJs are, what did you say? With the most? What was it?
Host with the most.
Yeah. I like that.
Everyone says, every host says that. Like,
yeah, right? That's fucking catchy.
Host with the most. Hostess with the mostest, if it's a female.
Yeah.
But yo, man, thank you for coming through. We've kind of been talking about this for a minute.
Yeah, low key. We tapped in. Obviously, you made like that plush audio thing that went viral. That was pretty funny, man.
Yo, my bad for not collabing you on that.
Oh, no, that's calm.
But I did reach out to you guys and I was like, yo, I'm making a track. Like, I want to give you guys like credit of it.
Low key,
you guys got to sign up for DistroKid because it still like hits me with a notification. Like, either I have to pay your $10 membership or you guys do it. So,
shit. Yeah.
You gotta get royalties, I mean, if you want royalties, it's not like making crazy money.
Millions, I heard.
Yeah, you guys, I think you guys are missing out on like 100 bands by not signing up. I want to give a little brief introduction over how I came across your work.
Cool.
So when I was doing the podcast and I started posting consistently, I saw you and Alu Markham.
Yeah, Umar.
Umar.
Yeah.
That's his
IG. Al Umar Khan is his IG. Alu Markham. Yeah.
So you guys have a podcast, Seeking Success.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, like, you know, I kind of seen it as like contemporary. We're in this kind of same space. We've interviewed the same people.
Yeah.
Like, you guys interviewed Nitish before I interviewed Nitish and Norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I interviewed Plush. And then you guys interviewed Plush.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, and we always kind of kept in contact. I was like, oh, I like what these guys are doing. It's a different style from what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like I could see the lane. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then I remember, this is kind of funny to admit, but okay, you guys posted that like you guys hit 10,000 followers, right?
Yeah.
And then you were like, this is the result of like 2 episodes a week and like 5 stories, right? And I was pissed. I was like, yo, fuck, how come I don't have 10K, you know? So I literally screenshotted that.
Oh, no way.
I printed it and I put it on a bulletin board, kind of like as motivation,
yeah,
you know, because I'm like, yo, these guys hit 10K because for a year straight, they released 2 episodes. They're posting 5 stories a day or something.
I mean, it was like we do like 2 to 5 reels a day.
2 to 5 reels a day.
Yeah.
And it was like stories and it was the consistency, right?
Yeah.
And I admired that and I kind of used it as motivation.
That's dope.
Yeah. I still don't have 10K and I don't have, I removed it eventually because I'm like, you know what? Like, love to them. You know what I'm saying?
That's actually jokes.
It's different because like I do it like myself and I feel like you guys have a good team, not just you and Umar, but like you guys have people behind the scenes too, or is it just you two?
Like, so sometimes we'll have like, for example, like John Shao JS, right? Like, he'll come through and he'll kind of just be behind the camera, just make sure everything's recording. Or we'll have Mo, shout to Mo, producer Mo.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, man, like literally it's just me and Umar. So we do everything from like outreach to guests, the editing, the posting. Like, it's just us two.
Okay. Yeah. Proper. Yeah, I remember I was like trying to figure out like, okay, how can I blow up my podcast? I'm like, maybe I should like celebrity box these guys. You know what I'm saying? I was like, really like kind of like willing to like fight both you and Umar.
Holy shit, that's
but,
funny.
Honestly, because I admire the space we're in, there's not too many podcasts. Like, there are a lot of Toronto podcasts, but like we all kind of, I feel like we all kind of see what podcasts are like when they have good reels and stuff. So I kind of liked you guys. I was like, you know what? Like, This is a podcast that like I can get down with. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
And I've watched some of your interviews. My favorite one was the one you did with Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite interview that you've done?
Yeah, so mine would probably have to be like, there's, I'd say I have like two main ones I can think of. The first one would probably be Rozpan Ravi, because he was like a child, like if you're Tamil, he's like a childhood like hero, you know? Like when you're like a kid, like you're like, oh yeah, you want to be like him, you know, he's a cool guy, whatever. I'd say him, because it was sick. Like literally, it's like a, your idols become like your friends. Not really idol, but like it was just dope, right? The second one I'd probably say is the first time we got Roadrunner on the pod. So like in high school, like I was always bumping Runner, I was always like, you know, a fan of his music, whatever.
Yeah.
And like I never really thought like, yeah, you know, one day I'll be like interviewing him, and to now think like, you know, he's chill, like we talk, I have his number, like he's like one of the homies, you know, so shout out to him. I think that one is like another cool, like almost like a full circle moment. And I think those are probably like the most fun for me, like having those full circle moments.
I think he's been on your podcast more than once.
Twice now. Yeah, okay.
That Islamic connection is strong with Umar.
Yeah, literally, that's what it is, because they love bonding on that too. So yeah, it's dope.
So I do want to ask you about, there's a lot of things that I've kind of done research about for this interview. Your first song ever as an artist is out now. It's called Rasati.
Yep.
What did you say it meant? I remember I asked this guy. I have a Tamil rep here, my boy June. You know what I'm saying? But
yes. So Rasati is like sweetheart, or like princess in Tamil. Yeah.
But if a girl calls a guy, it's Rasa, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, shit. You know. Yeah, okay.
Pora bro. Yeah, so I was like, okay, so I listened to it with an open mind, but I watched it. I'm like, oh, shoot, like, this is at UTSC. I went to UTSC. I was like, okay, cool. And then you had, like, a really, like, funny prelude to the song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was entertained by it. And then June was telling me, like, oh, it's very, like a Tamil comedy kind of style. You know what I'm saying? With, like, the acting. But I also felt like, for me as a non-Tamil, it was still entertaining.
Okay.
And I was like, I really liked it. And, like, and then the music started. I was like, okay, you know, like, yeah. I didn't even notice until like the second or third time I listened to it, you had that Sari Gapa in the background.
Yeah.
In the beat, layer. Right? Yeah, and I was like, oh, like, once you hear that part of the song, you're like, I kind of like the song a little more. And then the music video was high quality.
Thank you.
For your first song, I thought it was really, really good.
Appreciate
obviously,
that.
Like, you're going to improve in terms of like your rapping. And I'm not sure what style of rap like your other songs would be, but talk to me about how you made that song Rasati, like from the beginning to actually making the music video as well.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, what a process that was. So Rasati started off as me just going to the studio just for fun. And then one day it was really me, JS, and MT. We just went to the studio and we're just like, we just threw on a beat. I'm like, yo, I kind of like this beat. This is a YouTube beat, right? Like, okay, let's just throw it on whatever. We start like doing whatever on it. And then MT, he starts going on the hook. He's like, ooh, right next to me. And then he just kind of like tries to come up with a hook. And I'm like, yo, like, why don't you just add in a Tamil word in there? I think the song will do a lot better if we cater to that community. And I'm like, yo, just say, baby, can you be my Rasati? And then he's like, Rasati, I don't know. Like, we both never made Tamil music, right? So he was like, I don't know. Eventually, we add Rasati. JS is in the thing, too. We're like, yo, this sounds hard. We're like, yeah, okay, let's do this. And then literally, like, the first four bars, I just think of, like, boom, boom, boom. I kind of had some of it written down already as well. And I'm like, yo, okay, let's rhyme more Tamil words with Rasati. And then because we're mixing English and Tamil, it was pretty easy to do. Because it's like, yo, you can literally make up sentences or bars with both languages, right? So it's like you have a lot more to draw from. And then we make the song. The first original version of the song is actually like 3 minutes long. And I'm actually like rapping. So I'm not even like singing it like melodically. Like I'm like full on like
bars.
Yeah, like I'm saying the same thing.
Oh, okay.
But like I'm delivering it in a way where it's like bars and it's more like grungy, if that makes sense. And like it still sounded all right. And then we went to a next engineer. I went to a prod at 24K Studios and they're just like, oh, yo, Rudy's like, just try doing it melodically. I'm like, okay, sure. I do it melodically. And at first, I hated it. I was like, yo, like, this sounds cringe. This sounds terrible. I don't like this. I'm not a singer. What's going on? But everyone in the studio was like, yo, you're tripping. This is hard. This is way better. And then I was like, okay, sure. You know what? Like, I'm going to listen to you guys because I'm outnumbered here. And I was like, okay, sure. Then surely I'm the one that's wrong. And then we had the singing version. We cut out certain parts of the hook, certain parts of my two verses as well, just to shorten the song down. And then we're like, okay, music video time. So the concept of the music video was, how do we make a music video go viral in the community? So with the skit, the two main teachers, for those that watch the skit, they're big influencers in the Tamil community. So one being Rozpan Ravi and two being Tilak. So think about it like the OG of the comedy space and like the newer gen of the comedy space, like two at the top level, right? So I put them together. I obviously have a pretty big brand in the community as well. I'm in the skit. We have some other people in the skit, extras, whatever. The skit kind of just happened. I scripted the whole thing myself with MT. And then, yeah, it just kind of like it just kind of happened. And then we're like, okay, it's a 17 person shoot. So organizing that was a shit show because it's like inviting all the talent and like making sure everyone knows how to get to that spot in UTSC and like the outfits. There's a lot that went into it, right? And the music video, it was a concept of, what did we do for the music video? We did
you had like a mansion shot. You had like a mansion shot, a car shot. I think you had grills.
Yeah. I was like, yo, this
guy, where's this guy get grills? Like,
yeah, so like so the thing is with the music video and like the whole project itself, we wanted to keep it very PG in the sense that we want to go for like that. We're like the good guys, you know, lover boys. That's the kind of look we want to go for. And I think our market rewards that as well. So to actually do that, we're like, okay, let's all dress in cultural clothing. Let's, you know, have like the girls in like traditional clothing. And like, we're not going to have any like, you know, like ass shaking or like alcohol or like whatever in the video. Like it was a very clean video.
It was,
And even the song, there's no bad words in it. So like, cool. So the mansion part was just like, you know, one of the homies was a hookup. Boom, we got to shoot in the front of the mansion. We used my car and like one of the homies' cars. Then the actual car, like the Maybach scene, that was like at our studio. The Maybach is just something that we rent out. Boom, another thing happened. And then we shot outside of a temple as well. And those scenes were very nice as well. And again, it's like free to shoot there. We just went to the temple. They said you can't shoot. But we shot like, we literally shot like three versions of it. And they kicked us out. They're like, yo, you can't shoot here. We're like, okay, whatever. We got the footage. And then boom, we just cut. But yeah, the whole music video too, it took like a lot of time because there was a lot of planning that went involved because there was like one, the 17 person shoot and the mansion shoot, I think it had 12 or 13 people and then camera crew, right? So it's like a lot of planning, but overall it was fun, bro. Like it was a great experience.
And for your first song, I felt like one, like your social media understanding, I think really helped with the rollout.
Yeah.
Because I realized like from your page, it went from like you had a mixture of content prior and then after that it was like all like Rasati based content, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like each one was different, but it was a way to market the song. And then I think there was like, I guess like a little trend on TikTok with like Tamil girls like getting done up. And then like the chorus hits and then you know what I'm saying? Was that organic or did you like low-key hit a 1-2 talent show and you're like, yo, can you do this for the
So trend? We hit up, so we kind of already planned that ahead of time and we were like, yeah, okay, we're for sure going to make this happen. We hit up like a couple of girls to do it on day one. I think on day one we had, I don't know how many, but we definitely had a bunch of them doing it on day one. So that was already planned. A lot of them we did actually reach out to. We're like, hey, you know, we like your TikToks. Can you do this for us? A lot of them said yes. Some of them don't reply. Some of them say no. But like, whatever. We don't care. It's a numbers game, right? So, yeah.
And I noticed you had some of the same girls from the Podi.
Oh, yeah. The Podi music song. Video. Yeah.
And like, you were like more heavy acting in that one.
Yes. Yeah. So, there was a couple, I think two of the girls in that video were also in this one as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. The one with, I think she had like blue contacts.
Yeah.
How was it shooting that Podi music video as like the actor? Cause I felt like you were like kind of the main character. You were the main character in that song. You know?
So, acting was like, I always wanted to do acting. And I think a great goal one day would to be like, to actually act in a talent movie, not as a main actor, but just like, as you know, as like an extra or like, you know.
Would you do like comedic or like action?
I think action, bro. That'd be cool. Jeez. I'm not really a comedian, you know? Like, I think I can make jokes. So, like, I'm not like a... Like, I don't think... I don't know. Do I go up comedian?
You're a lot more serious in person. But I feel like when I see you on the pod or social media, you're trolly.
Yeah.
But, like, in person, like, you don't seem like that.
It's
kind of interesting.
Okay. That's an interesting analysis.
Do you get that too, Jude? I don't know. Like, I feel like it, in person, like, he's a lot more serious than you would think. I felt like when I watch you on the podcast, a lot of it, it's like you kind of doing like funny banter with the guests like you and Umar playing off each other.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I met this guy and this guy didn't even smile for the first like 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you're so guys serious. Like,
holy shit. That's funny. No, I mean, yeah, like I guess people like the internet sees like a animated version of me, right? Like the version that like is trying to get engagement, is trying to get people to continue watching. When I'm like serious, like, you know, like it's like business or it's like, you know, it's just, I'm a normal person, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think, but I think it would definitely be something to do with like, I think I could play like a villain because I have like long hair maybe.
Yeah.
Or I could even play like, just like one of those like, sure, it could even be a comedic role. I don't really mind. But acting is also just like one of those things where it makes a lot of sense because acting and music are the two pieces of content that people consume over and over again. Mm. So like, for example, you'll watch a movie over and over again, right? Mm. But like, realistically, music's better because you can listen to a song. Like, we've all probably heard Drake's, like, what? Like, headlines, like, what, 1,000 times?
Yeah.
And, like, that's one piece of content that we continuously consume over and over and over again.
Yeah, you can replicate that experience because like 3 minutes, you know?
Exactly. And it's like, it has longevity as opposed to like a movie. Sure, has longevity as well, but you won't consume it as frequently as a song, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to like an Instagram reel, like, bro, like you watch it maybe like once, maybe twice if it's a banger. Like, I'm sure like Plushes, if the business is true, probably got consumed like a bunch of times, but that was like one viral, like mega viral moment, right? So for me, it's like, okay, like I've already understood how to go crazy with reels with my own content and the podcast, but how do I now make content that will be around for like years to come and people will still actually consume it? So that was basically the play with acting as well as music.
I do feel like music has that almost compounding effect where like the longer you have it, the more like damage it can do in that good way. You know, 100%,
100%.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 23.
23, okay. Yeah. So I took a dive into your YouTube, which has about 23,000 subscribers as of today. And I noticed that, you know, 5 years ago, you were an 18-year-old real estate agent.
Yeah, I was.
How did you, were you just like after high school, like, yo, I'm trying to like make these bucks? Yo, I feel like my pops is a real estate agent. He's almost 70 now.
Dope.
And I think when he got in, it wasn't as saturated, but probably when you got in even was kind of when it started to become like everyone wanted to be a real estate agent.
Yeah.
So how was it being an 18-year-old real estate agent and people like expecting people to trust you with like the biggest purchase of their life when you're only 18? Was that difficult?
Yeah. So one thing that happened was when I was 18, like I went through a huge mental health thing and like I was like super like back against the wall and like I almost had nothing to lose. So confidence isn't hard when you have nothing to lose. Like you don't have a choice, right? It's either you do it or you don't. And for me, when I'm like literally like have nothing to lose, like I'm at rock bottom, it's like you almost feel invincible. Like it's kind of fucked up, right?
I know what you mean.
But at the same time, it's great because I then use that to not fear much. But for me, it was like, yo, I had to do a lot of research. I had a great mentor who was helping me with real estate, with transactions, whether that's the online side of things or whether that's the in-person side of things, even just with confidence. Like I think when you surround yourself with people who are killing it, it just kind of rubs off on you and you become more confident yourself. Mm. So yeah, like I definitely would say it's definitely saturated, but like everything's saturated, right? Like I think using it's saturated as an excuse is kind of just like a weak
it's
way
a
to
cop
say,
out. Yeah,
yeah. Like it's just like, bro, like just fucking do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like if you really want to do it, you're going to do it.
Yeah. I was going to ask, one of the questions I had for you is, do you think in 2024, given the Toronto housing market and the real estate market, do you think it's still worth it for people to get into real estate at this point?
Like to be an agent?
Yeah.
Again, like it's one of those things where it's like, so in Toronto, we have a culture of like the club promoters or the bottle girls.
Bottle girls just go crazy with the real estate because they have their rich clientele that they've been booking. Yeah.
So like they all kind of get into real estate, or it's like the typical like Tamil uncle, or like if you're Tamil, like you're automatically related, or even brown, I think you're just automatically related to someone who's a realtor. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, it is saturated in the sense that there's a lot of realtors doing it. But if you actually go into real estate with the mindset of I'm going to make a lot of money and I'm going to actually do the business properly, there's a lot of money to be made. So I don't think there's ever going to be like I'm sure a new realtor could come in this year and go and make six figures. They're like without a doubt in my mind. Mm. Like that still happens to this day. Like I know realtors that started last year that made six figures last year. You know what I mean? So it's not hard. It is hard, but like it's not as hard as people make out to be. Like saturation is not the reason you're not making money in real estate. You're not doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. I do think a lot of people get into real estate expecting it to be like a quick flip.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to do my course.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm getting these huge commission checks and everyone's going to want to buy a house from me. But realistically, you got to spend a lot on marketing. You got to put yourself in the right communities or circles. And I've known a lot of people who like tried it and then stopped. You know what I'm saying? But I also know people even like in my family who like made a lifelong career off real estate. So I do agree with you that regardless of whether a market is saturated or not, if you're going to do something, you're going to do it, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Content creation even is super saturated.
Super
like,
saturated.
We still do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
I did want to ask you, you said you want to get into acting.
Yeah.
I enjoy movies. I enjoy acting. What are five Tollywood movies you think are essential if someone wants to, you know, be introduced to the world of Tamil cinema?
Yeah, yeah. Wait, I have a question for the people in the back. Is it Tollywood or Collywood?
It's Collywood,
right?
Collywood.
Because you could, I was like, wait, is it? I thought I was wrong for a sec. But no. Yeah.
Let me re-ask that question for the clip.
Okay, go for it.
What are five Kollywood movies you think I should be put on if I want to be introduced to the world of Tamil cinema?
Okay, and are you more into comedic movies, action movies? What do you prefer?
I prefer comedy, but okay. I do like the clips that I've seen of Tamil action movies where, like, it's just bear man squatting up ready to fight and, like, people are flying and shit, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So give me a little bit of both.
Okay, so I would say definitely watch, there's a movie called KGF, and that's, think about, like, the John Wick, but, like, John Wick meets fucking like The Equalizer. It's just like an insane movie like that, like John Wick, James Bond style movie. But KGF? It's Tamil. Yeah, it's literally called KGF. There's chapter one and chapter two.
Okay.
I definitely recommend those two. A recent one is a movie called Leo. That one, I think it broke a shit ton of records recently. It's been going crazy. Another good movie, was shot pretty well. Even classical movies, bro. Like, I'd say like older ones, like if you want to go for some comedic ones, one of my favorite movies is called, I don't know if you're going to be able to pronounce this one, it was called Bharata Parada Valibar Sangam. You want to try saying that?
You'll just text me that.
I got you. Oh, that was a good one. And then the fifth one, I would say, I'd say watch Singham. That's like a police type movie. A lot of crazy, like, you know, the guy will get punched and he'll be flying like 50 meters in the air. Like, it's like very, you know.
Do you feel like watching it with subtitles, obviously it won't do it justice, because I feel like Tamil is such a rich language and there's so much like humor encoded in the language that unless you speak it, even if it translates to English, it might not actually translate the full effect of what they're actually saying.
100%, because we have, I think it's 247 letters in our like alphabet.
Letters?
I'm pretty sure it's 247. So,
holy.
Yeah, if you think about that, right? Like in English, we have 26. So, like, if we just have that many letters, imagine like the words, the expressions, the slang, all the extra stuff that we probably have that doesn't even get translated properly. Mm. And I don't think that's with Tamil. I think that's with even French to English, bro. Like, because I speak French pretty well, right? Mm. A lot of the translations are just fucked. They're super wrong. And it's like, you don't get the proper expression and the proper meaning behind it. So, 100%.
Holy. 200 how many letters?
47.
Can you factor that, John?
247 is crazy.
I'm pretty sure it's 247, yeah.
Yo, kids here struggle with the ABCs, bro, but how are you going to do 200? Like, can you recite every single one? I'm not going to get you to do it because I don't know if we have enough time. But.
I used to be able to do it like in order without like looking at or anything, but I probably wouldn't be able to do it now. I probably forgot.
And can you read the script?
I can read. I can read.
That's impressive.
Bro. Yeah.
That's impressive. Right now I'm learning. Oh wait, how many is it? 247. 247. Yeah. Okay. We got Jamie from a Joe Rogan Experience. You know, Jamie. Got someone. 247. I'm learning Arabic right now because my dad's Syrian. I speak Turkish, but I feel like when you learn another language, you kind of tap in to another side of you a little bit. Like it's almost like your personality in each language is kind of tailored towards how that language is meant to be spoken.
Yeah.
So do you think in English, like when you are like on a day to day, like is that your first language?
Yeah. I'll always speak English first. Like even at home, like I barely speak Tamil. Mm-hmm. It's funny, like no one expected me to make like a Tamil related song at all. Mm-hmm. Like even my parents were like, what the? They were so confused. They're like, where'd this come from? You don't speak Tamil at home like that. Like, what's going on? Even like people on the internet, like I never really spoke Tamil like publicly on the internet either, even though I make a lot of Tamil related content. Mm-hmm. So like, even when I just speak in Tamil, people are like, what the? Like, you know Tamil? Like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, like I can write or not write. I could read. I used to be able to write, but it's like, I think people kind of used to shy away because when I was growing up in high school and stuff, like it wasn't cool to be Tamil. Like if you're Tamil, you're like, oh, the fucking here comes the curry kid, you know? Like,
I feel like even being brown in general back in the day wasn't like favorable for some reason.
No, not at all. Yeah. Which is fine. Like fuck it. It happened. It is what it is. I'm not gonna cry about it. But I think now because of TikTok, it's like almost cool to be Tamil and like the community that we have online, everyone reps it, you know? Everyone's like proud to be Tamil, which I think is great for the kids and the next generation. And I think it's gonna evolve and become even bigger and better because like our people, we were very oppressed, right? We went through a genocide as well, so like we have a lot of people that are scared to even just talk about what we went through and whatnot. And so like I think it's dope like seeing the community come internationally as well, whether that's through like art forums or even just through social media. I think it's super cool, and I do encourage people, even myself, like I'm starting to do it now too. Like I'll talk a bit more Tamil like in my videos here and there, but like Yeah, I think it's definitely like a it's good to have a nice balance of all like your languages, right?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like the camaraderie in the Toronto Tamil creative scene is really good, because I've been seeing a lot of it, and it's on my algorithm. I'm not even Tamil, so like if it's making it to my algorithm, like it's making noise, and I like that. In general, I would say Tamil support each other. Kind of like, you're my people. There might be like some internal beefs as well, in every culture, but from what I'm seeing, like you, City Boy JJ, Scarborough AmayJS. Because I used to see this guy too. Who was that? That one boxer. And then, I feel like I've been seeing more Tamil creators, even, you know, Rue June in the building.
Yes, sir.
And I like that you guys kind of ride for each other, because I feel like that's how it should be. Like,
for sure.
I feel like a lot of strong cultures, they prioritize the group first before you focus on like other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in Canada, it's like super multicultural, but you need to like kind of remember like your ancestry, who like your group of people.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this to ask you, one, do you ultimately see yourself marrying a Tamil girl? And two, do you feel like it's difficult for a non-Tamil person to marry into like a Tamil family because of how rich the culture is?
Okay, so I think, like me, you know, I need a Rasati, you know, I need to marry a Rasati, you know, come on. In terms of the other question, I would say like, so my, like I've been in multiple like long-term relationships, and my first long-term relationship was a girl who wasn't Tamil. Mm-hmm. But like, it really depends on the culture, right? Because she was also brown. So it wasn't like there was like a crazy disconnect. But we are seeing like, there are, you know, couples that we might be like a Tamil person and like the other person's white or the other person's black or whatever, right? I think just the world as a whole, we're just so diverse. Like the next generation, like maybe not even my generation, but generation after that, bro, we're about to see like some crazy fucking collabs, eh?
Like light skin, like 3.0s.
Yeah, like we're about to see the craziest collabs. Yeah. So I feel like there's two things, right? Like one, I do feel like overall culture, like traditional culture is slowly starting to go away, at least in like the Western world. And like that's like a whole fucking like
globalization, like, American, like Western culture.
Yeah, like that's like a whole different rabbit hole. The other thing I do think is like there are some people that do want to, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with only like so there's like this concept of like, oh, like it's toxic when your parents say they want you to marry a Tamil person. I can understand why that might be toxic, but I can also see where they're coming from, right?
Like, of course. Yeah.
If you like leave your country, you don't want to lose your identity, because at the end of the day, like, yeah, my skin color is brown, right? You're like, what would you say you are? Like white.
What would you say? I don't know.
White, maybe. White, like, yeah, you know. Like at the end of the day, those are just colors, but like we have our identity, right?
Yeah.
So like, you know what your background is, I know what my background is, and I know like where my family came from and vice versa. I don't think people should be willingly like open to losing that. Because I think like that's the one thing that everyone has that they should keep forever.
Mm-hmm. With their skin tone?
I guess her identity. Okay. Not their skin tone.
Like, damn, you should see me in the summer. Yeah. I change. You know what I'm saying? No, I do agree. And I think it's kind of weird when I see people who like do not want to date their culture. Like, I get if it's like, oh, I date everything but my own culture. That's almost like a self-hate kind of vibe. You know?
Like daddy issues or something, right? Like,
I don't know. Or like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of like white people were shamed to be white, for ashamed of being white because of like leftist thought and stuff.
Especially
like,
now too. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, I'll date anything except white. It's like, look at like your whole ancestry has been white, but because like, you know, now it's like privilege or whatever.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
I'm like, I feel like because even I'm mixed, like my dad's Syrian, my mom's Turkish.
Yeah.
So they're different, but they're right next door type. You know what I'm saying? You'll see even like Greek and Italian. It's like they're different, but they're in the same region.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm open to mixing, but I also see the merit in preserving culture, because I have to go out of my way to like learn my languages. If I don't learn my language, my kid is going to like not know anything.
Yeah.
So then that whole history of like people speaking Turkish or Arabic is just gone because, you know what I'm saying, I decided to like be with like a Rebecca McPatterson or something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, for sure. But like, again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, everyone should have their own preferences, and you should be allowed to have your own preferences. But like, it's like, but even for me, right? Like, I'm not like super fucking Tamil, or like, you know, like I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, I'm the most fucking Tamil person ever. But like, there are certain things with our culture. Like, Tamil's the oldest language in the world, right? Mm. So it's like, when you have something like that that's been passed down for fucking centuries. So it's like, bro, like, do you really want to be that guy that, like, you know, like, fucking...
You broke the cycle.
Yeah, like, do you really want to be that guy? Like, which, again, like, I've seen people that are mixed Tamil and they'll still speak Tamil. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. But I guess, like, that comes down to, like, teaching your kids and teaching people, like, the history behind, like, why you're actually speaking Tamil. Like, why am I speaking Tamil? Why do I know Tamil? It's because it's a language that's been passed on for years and years and years, and hopefully continues to get passed on for years, right?
Okay, we'll see. I think it'll last, if it's lasted this much time, yeah. And like through all these like wars, exactly, and issues, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be that one guy that like,
definitely not.
You lost it, you know what I'm saying? It lasted thousands of years, but it stopped with your kid, yeah, you know, like, what I'm fuck, saying? That's, yeah, actually a lot of pressure, low key.
It is.
But it's also, with that comes like a cultural pride where it's like, you should be proud of where you're from, regardless of, like, I think every place has something to be proud of. Yeah. Even like some of these colonizer countries, like if you're from there, like kind of focus on the positives, maybe,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe, yeah, like, not everything, but like, you should embrace the positive, because no culture is perfect. Every culture has toxic elements. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So at 18, you're a real estate agent.
Yep.
I see your content. You were being consistent, but it wasn't getting too many views.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think where you started kind of picking up steam was when you kind of switched to the crypto space, oh, and, yeah, like, especially like altcoin, yes, kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
One, how did you get into that? Like crypto in general. And then when you started to see that like your crypto based videos were being received more, like how did that make you feel?
Fucking great. Yeah. So what happened was, literally, like, I was making real estate videos. Then I transitioned to like adding some stock market videos. And one day a crypto video just picked up like crazy, right? Like, we're talking insane views. And this is when Bitcoin, it was like 2021 when Bitcoin hit its all time high, which, if you guys,
it just passed recently,
exactly,
right?
So a lot of people don't, like, publicly, this isn't really news, but like, I don't mind saying it here. I have a new channel now where I'm making crypto videos again.
Hmm.
So the same, just literally the same thing that I did a couple of years ago. So with crypto, it was just a matter of like, it was a bull run. There was a lot of interest in the markets. And if you remember, everyone was at home because of the, right?
Yeah.
So because of all that, it was very easy for me to just capitalize on this market. And yeah, the videos did phenomenal. The money was great. And I can't wait to do it again.
Do you think NFTs are going to ever make a comeback?
I think yes, but like a lot of, so I also started my own NFT project. A lot of the NFTs, like 99.99% of the NFTs from the last bull run will not make a return this year. But the ones like the Bored Apes or like the Cool Cats or like whatever, there will be some that still stick around. But we're going to see a whole new wave of new NFTs. Mm-hmm. But I think that'll probably come like later on in the year. I think right now it's just going to be like the shit coins.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin's probably going to hit like 100K, give or take. That'd mm-hmm. be great. And we'll see where it goes.
Do you feel like most NFTs that are kind of endorsed by influencers end up being rug pulls?
So it's actually a funny story. So like the Bored Ape Yacht Club, I'm sure you're familiar with that, right? Mm. So what actually happened was a lot of the like the actual NFT companies would send the NFTs to these celebrities and pay them to talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the celebrities themselves never actually went and thought, oh, let me buy a fucking Bored Ape. No, mm-hmm. it was, they got paid a bag.
It's like
they
a commercial.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a lot of those, I think, like, they're not, I don't know if scam's the right word, because like it's very new in the sense that a lot of these influencers and celebrities, they don't really know what's going on. Even like I myself, who's like an actual YouTuber who covers this stuff very extensively, researches this, studies this hours on a day, even like I'll sometimes talk about something and it turns out, oh, like it was a rug pull. So to say, I don't think it's like a generalization thing, but I think it's like a, invest your own money, you know, do your own research and be willing to invest money that you're willing to lose, especially if it's something like crypto or NFTs.
Do you feel like, I remember the big thing, the big push with crypto was kind of this decentralized currency and, you know, discrete and, you know, untrackable, whatever. But do you feel like because of all the regulations made in different countries that if there is going to be digital currency, it's still going to be in the hands or monitored by like government agencies as opposed to crypto, which was like originally this like anonymous kind of
yeah.
thing?
So like I can sit here and pretend I know what's going on, but in reality I have no fucking clue. Like I'd love to think like, yeah, you know, Bitcoin's gonna be the thing and it's gonna be the worldwide currency, da 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 da. But like you're right, like they are making digital currencies and I think like who knows what's gonna happen, right? Like I have no idea. Like I'd love to know, because then I'd love to put all my money into whatever that thing is, but I don't know.
Yeah, I always found it like I like the idea of a decentralized currency, because even like I have family in Syria. Mm-hmm. It's hard to actually send them money because the banks, they don't even have like credit cards and stuff. So it's like you got to like maneuver through like PayPal and all this stuff it's like Bitcoin could just be like instantaneous, you know? So I do like that aspect, but I always felt like it sounded too good to be true because I don't think the powers that be are just going to let you send money like untaxed or like, you know what I'm saying? But I felt like the push with crypto was like, no, this is like the be all end all solution to like global finances.
Exactly. I think like we'll figure out what's going to happen with that in like the next couple of years, especially now since like institutions are buying Bitcoin with their ETFs. Mm-hmm. I think very soon we're going to see like, what is Bitcoin actually going to do? Is it actually going to be, you know, that global currency, or is it just going to be that thing that, you know, is like a store of value or a hedge against inflation? Like, we're going to have to find out in the next, I think probably like 2 to 3 years, we'll know for sure.
Mm-hmm. So going from real estate, and then I think you started a course called Seeking Success prior. And then
you did your research.
I did it, bro. You know what I'm saying? And then you and Umar, you guys have a podcast called Seeking Success. So was that your idea? And how did that come about?
Yeah. So the podcast, so Umar moved to Calgary for a year because he just fucking wanted to. And he did a virtual, or he did a podcast over there. And then he just wasn't really too happy with like, because it's Calgary, bro. Like, are you going to fucking interview the farmer? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no one there. Like, there's like five people there that are worth talking to, right? Not actually five, but you know what I mean? It's a fucking tiny bro. Like, what the fuck's over there? Like, nothing. Yeah. Like, you're gonna go to the mountains? Like, you know what I mean? Like, are you gonna fucking talk to the sheep over there on the mountains? Like, the mountains goats? And so when that happened, I was like, yo, that's fucking sick, bro. Like, I wanna do a podcast, you know, as you do. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it virtually. And then Umar was like, yo, bro, like, or no, I don't know who said it. One of us, we're just on call, and one of us were just like, yo, like, why don't we just do it together virtually and we'll interview people too? And we're like, yeah, sure, fucking great. And then that's how that happened. And then Umar was like, yo, bro, like, I'm thinking of moving back to Toronto. And I was like, oh, okay, so we can do the podcast in person. So the podcast almost, like, we almost quit the podcast twice so far. The first time being, like, the virtual episodes were just fucking, like, they were great, but it was like, bro, like, what, like, what are we really doing here? Like, we're just talking to random fucking people, right? Like, and there were like a lot of legitimate people and like big ups people, but it's just like, bro, it's kind of stupid. Like, it doesn't even look that good. It's fucking, you know. And then when we moved to the studio, bro, our audio equipment was just shit. We're shooting in 1080. The audio was terrible. We didn't have proper mics or nothing, and we didn't know how to do it, right? We're like, yo, like, what the fuck? Like, we thought it was going to be easy. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we were like, okay, cool. Like, we're going to do the podcast together. It's going to be in person. It's going to be Toronto-based. And then we basically build a foundation of that, and now we have our systems. And then ever since then, me and him have just been dialed in, just working on it.
Mm-hmm. You guys have been very consistent, and I think you guys deliver really good clips.
Thank you.
And when that Sick to My Stomach, fam, like, when that clip, like, went viral, I remember, I think you were on Real Toronto News podcast and you spoke about how you should have tagged the, like, you should have put a watermark in the video so. And also, like, you know, like, that's not the first time you guys have had millions of views. So do you feel like going viral, like, what difference do you feel like that makes for a podcast or even an influencer, especially in a Canadian market where we're not capitalizing off TikTok in, like, the same way as other places?
So, like, as in, like, what impact does going viral make?
Yeah, like okay, that, like, that specific clip, like, what impact did it have on the trajectory of the podcast?
Yeah, so, like, instantly that became a thing of, like, okay, like, we're now established. Like, we could say, yeah, based off of numbers, we're the number one podcast in Toronto, but, like, we literally created an international moment, which I'd argue in Toronto, what other major moment did we have last year? I don't know off the top of my head.
And it was an iconic. I'd say it's like a Toronto heritage moment.
It's like a piece of Toronto history.
One of the biggest
now.
In history.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you guys notice, like, Plush went viral for her Ball Up Rules thing. This was way bigger than Ball Up Rules.
Yeah.
Like, by far.
Yeah.
And so to see, like, the podcast as well, a lot of people then hit us up. Like, we had a bunch of rappers just be like, yo, like, I seen this. I want to hop on your shit now. And, like, these are rappers that, like, so here's a funny story. We talked about Roadrunner off camera, right? So, like, the first time when we asked Roadrunner to do the podcast, he was like, no, I need money. And we're like, bro, no, we're not paying you money, bro. Just because, like, there's nothing wrong with paying for guests. But, like, we were just, like, we didn't want to have that transactional relationship with him.
Yeah.
We'd rather build an actual relationship with him. And then eventually he's like, okay, yeah, like, these guys are actually doing good. And he's like, okay, yeah, I'll hop on. And we're like, okay, cool. And then, like, the second time, it's like, it was more so his idea that he wanted to hop on. And we're like, yeah, come through. So it's like, when we have these viral moments, we – feel like guests are more open to coming onto our show, and they kind of want to come onto our show as well. Mm. In terms of actual like growth, I think we got a shit ton of followers from it. The YouTube video itself is at like 33K, I think. Mm. So it helped us get monetized. That was pretty cool. So we're monetized now on YouTube. So we're making money off of the podcast, a YouTube page. Nothing crazy, but you know, still something.
So you guys claim to be the biggest podcast in Toronto based on views.
Yeah.
But in terms of subscribers, you're not.
In terms of subs, I don't know. We've never checked actually. Who was the biggest in terms of subscribers?
I think the biggest.
We Love Hip Hop, maybe?
We Love Hip Hop does have a lot, but there's bigger. What's the one? You know those two Filipino dudes that do like conspiracy?
Jumpers Jump.
Yeah, Jumpers Jump. Technically, they're a Toronto podcast, but they're like global. Like they don't really focus on being from Toronto. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think they don't really do interviews. Like, I think, okay, so when we say number one podcast in Toronto, I think we mean like the number one podcast for Toronto that brings Toronto people on that, like, you know, so like in terms of competition for us, it'd be, let's say you guys, there'd be Friday from We Love Hip Hop, The Real Toronto Pod, which I don't know what happened to that guy.
I don't know what happened either. Yeah. Yo, low key. Yo, I was going to tell you this. Okay. So you guys were talking about like, he was like, yo, like what podcast do you think are popping in Toronto? There's Voices from the Staircase and you guys. And I was like, yo, like maybe they're going to mention me, you know what I'm saying? And they did it. And I was like, you know what? I got a girl bro sound, you know what I'm saying? I was like, next time they're gonna mention me. I just try to take whatever like pisses me off as motivation, because like good, it's either, what else, what am I gonna do, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's like almost like a healthy way to deal with it, where it's like, oh, they didn't mention me, but next time they will.
You know
what I'm saying?
No, for sure.
But I do think the Toronto podcast space, there should be some type of like, we should have like a community, like camaraderie, where it's like we exchange information. Like, for example, like you might see like Voices from the Staircase. Oh, how'd you get this guest? Oh, how'd you guys get this guest? You know what I'm saying? Like, but I feel like because we're all like in competition with one another.
Like, I don't think we look at it that way, bro. Cause like, we literally, like, we've seen certain podcasts as well. Like, they'll literally get guests that we've got on like the week after. Like, they'll literally hit them right after and we don't give a fuck. Like, sure, do it. Cause in like, so for us, after the Business is True clip went viral, Plush was on a bunch of podcasts, and then she came on ours again anyways, so like we didn't fucking care. We're not like, we didn't tell her, oh, don't do these the fuck, we don't care. And like I don't think that could happen in Toronto, because Toronto is just one of those cities that there's a glass ceiling, and we feel like we've hit that glass ceiling in the sense that there's not much else for us to do here. Like, sure, we can one day get like press out, right, which would be great, we can get like Killy or whatever, but like after that, we pretty much talk to majority of the people that we want to talk to anyways. So for us, it's about expanding. So like when, like, and we literally have given guests, you know, we'll be like, yeah, go on this podcast, or like, yeah, we know this guy, go on here, whatever. So like, I don't think we don't care. Like, we kind of encourage competition, just because for context, we were very, very excited when Real Toronto started his podcast, because we knew, okay, he has one of the biggest Toronto pages and insane connections. So this is going to force us to level up. And in a way, it 100% did. Like, you can even ask JS, I was like, yo, like, I love that this is happening. Cause like, you know, and like, it's always like friendly competition. Like, I'll be like, oh, they don't even get views, or, oh, these guys don't get views, whatever. But like, we want that to happen. Like, the bigger the guest that one podcast gets, that just elevates everyone as a whole. So I think it's great. I think we definitely do need that.
Yeah. I think it's good to have that friendly competition, but the glass ceiling, I feel like we have to find a way to break that glass ceiling, because you're right, like, even for you guys, like, the Business is True, like, how much more iconic of a clip can you get? And like, it's possible maybe there's going to be some random person that we don't even know about today, but like next month does some wild thing and it's on like the global news, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I do think it's good to strive for that, but you're right, like, even when I think about like in terms of like sponsorship opportunities in Toronto, like, I'll see like these big podcasters or like rappers, like, okay, they'll get like a teeth whitening, or they'll get like, you know, like a lung detox, or like, you know, shout out to El Jefe de Pollo, you know, you might get some free burgers, you know what I'm saying? But like our market is kind of like limited, and also like population wise Canada is small,
tiny, bro,
compared to like the rest of the world. You know, tiny. Would you guys ever consider relocating to like the US or UK?
So we have a couple things planned. No permanent relocations, just because of like family, other commitments, et cetera. But yeah, the goal for this year is to take the podcast international. So that would be doing like podcast trips, or like a podcast tour too, whether that's LA, Miami, New York, London. We do have a couple of cities that we already have in mind and that we are planning on doing. So yeah, I think that's, and like, bro, I think everyone in Toronto understands that to make it in Toronto, you got to make it out of Toronto.
Literally.
So, yeah.
That should be the priority, is to make it out of Toronto first, almost, because
for sure,
Toronto's kind of like a hard market to please. Like the demographic, it's like, it's very, and I'm not using that as an excuse. You still got to like do your thing. But I feel like the demographic is very like trolly and very like, they will do everything they can to not support you until they have to, because like you popped off, you know exactly. what I'm saying?
100%.
I want to switch gears here for a second. What would you say are your top three Tamil foods?
Oh, top three Tamil foods. Okay, so see, that's a tricky one, because like, bro, like, okay, so I don't really eat Tamil food like that at home. Mm. But I'd say, okay, obviously a chicken biryani, you know, come on. I'd also say probably like a, oh, like I like, okay, are we counting like meals or like do like finger foods also count and stuff like that?
You tell me, brother.
Okay, cool. I'd say there's also, I also like, it'd be so gay if I said mutton rolls, right? So there's like, okay, so I would say mutton rolls, but like basically that food kind of got memed and like now everyone assumes mutton roll means dick. So I was like, you know, like whatever, I'll say it, I'll be mature about it.
So you like mutton rolls? Is what you're saying.
I like the food, yes.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And the third, I'd have to say, maybe like I'll go for like a sweet one. I like gulab jam. They're like these little like, oh fuck.
It's like deep fried dough kind of.
Right? Yeah. There you go.
I've seen those. Yeah. Why is that another thing? Is that another? No,
I was gonna say they're like these little balls, but I don't want to say balls.
Yeah, you can't follow mutton rolls with balls, Rusky.
Shit.
Okay. So those are like the basic. Like I'm just saying, like from an outside, like if you're like, I'm like, oh, I want to try Tamil food. Like you feel like those are three.
Bro, if you want to try Tamil food, go get kotharotti.
Okay.
Go get mutton rolls. Go get Necto, which is like a drink, super fire. And go get like a mango shake, bro. Mm. The mango shake, especially at the fucking banquet halls. Bro, you could drink that shit like over and over again until you pass out.
Is it like mango lassi or it's different?
It's like a little bit different. Is so it mango lassi is more like yogurt based. Yeah. This is more like a milkshake.
Mm, okay. I have a little rapid fire question thing that I like to ask my guests.
All your guests? Yep, I know.
Yeah. Oh, so this guy prepared.
Come on.
Okay. Do you believe in God or a higher power?
Yes.
If you had one last meal, what would it be?
Jerk chicken poutine.
No, he wants to say mutton rolls, but like, oh, he eats it. No, okay, jerk chicken poutine. Okay, who is your favorite artist of all time?
Casper.
If you weren't doing content creation, what would you be doing?
Some sort of business.
Sweet food or salty food?
Both.
Okay. If you could have one superpower, it'd be?
Time travel.
Any tattoos?
No.
Would you get tattoos?
If it has some sort of significant meaning, yes.
Are you a cat person or a dog person?
Pussy.
Okay, but in terms of cats versus dogs?
Pussy.
Oh, okay. This female vagina. Like, that wasn't an option. All right. Blunts or papes?
Papes.
What's your...
But smoking's haram, don't smoke.
Oh, you don't bottle up?
Not really.
Oh, okay. I thought you did. What's your bottled water of choice?
Voss.
Okay. Apple or Windows?
Windows.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Gym.
Okay. If you had to learn another language, what language would it be?
Either Arabic or Spanish.
What do you think happens when you die?
Ooh, that's a good fucking question. Do you want this rapid fire too, or should I give you a deep answer?
Like, you can do this before.
This is the last one?
Yeah.
Okay, so I believe that when you die, you go to the kingdom of heaven, whatever, or whatever that may be, whatever religion, doesn't matter. And God shows you a version of yourself that you could have been and says, look, this is what you could have been if you actually hit your true potential and you didn't, or you did. And that's the person that I want to meet. I want to meet that person and be like identical with that person. Be like, okay, I actually did hit my true potential. Cool. I'm happy that I died, you know?
Mm. And then like you just live in eternity with like you're like twin. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh shit. Yeah, it's like you're
just hanging out all day.
Yeah, you're just chilling. I don't know. I feel like there's probably like a heaven or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I think I actually did ask all the questions I did have to ask. What's one piece of advice you have for me as someone who is a contemporary in the space, but I also look at you as someone who's accomplished things that I hope to one day accomplish. So what's a piece of advice you have for me?
Okay. In terms of the podcast,
podcast life.
I would say, because consistency, like the only reason like I've been able to get the numbers that I've been, because it's a numbers game, right? Like there's nothing I've really achieved that anyone else can't achieve. It's just the sheer numbers and like putting out input and output. Like if there was another podcast that started today and they just did more than what our podcast is doing or your podcast is doing, they're going to overtake us, right? It's just a simple numbers game. Obviously, you got to match it with, like, you know, don't post shitty fucking content, right? Post good content. I'm not saying you do, but I'm saying like 4K, 60 frames. That's like a minimum, right? The audio quality has to be great. Everything has to be at a level where, like, there isn't much higher to go up from there, right? And then after that, you pair that with insane consistency and boom. I think it's not like sexy advice. Like, it's kind of boring. It's like, yeah, bro, we get it. Fucking get it. But yeah, it's what works.
Nah, facts. Well, I appreciate you coming through. Where can the people find you?
I'm sure all the links will be down below, but Instagram, radice.rajakulam. Have fun spelling that if you don't know how to spell it. On TikTok, like, I think it's like it's radice or whatever. Just search radice and you'll be able to find me.
And make sure you guys stream Razzati. It's actually a good song. Make sure you watch that music video. It's really good. Well done, bro. And yo, man, I appreciate you.
For sure, bro.
And we'll keep in contact. For sure. And hopefully I'll have you on again one day, bro.
Yeah, no, for sure. That was fun, man. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Make sure you comment, like, subscribe. Thank you for watching the Burrow Sound. Big up Scarborough May JS. Big up Rue June in the building. Let's go. Know what I'm saying? Yeah, until next time.